We're continuing, or finishing, I keep saying continuing all day today. We're finishing our series on testimony, on speaking faith and sharing our stories. And I am grateful, I'm so grateful. We've had so many people do it this summer, people who are super ready to do it, and people who thought, I can't do that. I have been surprised because everybody has a different thing. And so if you worked with me, I usually try to meet with the person during the week. And you could write it out, you could wing it, you could do whatever. And I have been really marveled by seeing the different ways in which people do it. Someone who said, someone who I never thought would write it down, wrote it down because they were worried about speaking too long. And other people who I thought would need to write it down because they would be fearful, didn't need anything, and just bloomed as they came up. It is a blessing, I think, and what I have heard from you over and over is that you have heard things that you've never heard before. That you have heard stories of people you have known for years and you have never known them. And I think that really goes to the heart of what faith is, the heart of who Jesus is, a word that we've known forever but maybe haven't heard. And if there is anything that our nation needs today, it is that kind of word and that kind of exchange. So thank you for this summer. It's been rich. I joked a lot that it was actually a way for me to take a whole bunch of time off because I wouldn't have to preach all summer. And I have been blessed by hearing other people, you, bring the word of God to me. So thank you for that. And I know I am not alone in that. Today, Elaine Price is sharing with us and Marta's going to be reading the scripture. The scriptures that we've had each week has either been chosen by the person giving the testimony or it has been the theme that's in the testimony that we've teased out. This actually is the third time this summer that we read from Romans chapter 8, which tells you a lot about this chapter that is Paul's articulation of trying to understand God's goodness and power, even when it seems that God is not there. Even when it seems like God is not powerful, this affirmation that God can never be separated from us. So I want to invite you to listen for the living word of God as we hear Marta read scripture, and then as we have Elaine come up. And so we'll read scripture, and then I'll come back up, and we'll do what we've been doing each week, where we take a moment of silence to offer prayer for our testifier, and then we'll hear from Elaine. So listen for the word of God.
This is a difficult passage, so listen well. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
As Elaine gets ready to come up, I want to invite you to, we each week I've been doing this, where we take a moment of silence, and in that silence you can be praying for Elaine, shining your love on her, encouragement, silencing yourself, that we might hear from God through the story of Elaine. So we want to welcome Elaine forward. This is a good sound for Dora. Can you hear me?
I got it.
Excellent.
Well, I'm going to read this today because it took me a while to write it all down. And I'm kind of nervous, so I think I'll read it.
You go.
Okay, good morning. I want to tell you about my journey of my life and faith, and how God was always with me. I was very blessed to have Christian parents, grandparents, and my uncle was a pastor. I was baptized at Merrill's Methodist Church here in Oakland. My parents and brothers and I went to Sunday school and church every week. I joined the church at the age of 12. People would ask me later in life when I was born again, but I didn't understand because I had always known about the Lord and believed. When I was 21, I got married at Merrill's Methodist Church, and after Amber and Amy, my daughters, were born, I had them baptized there. When I was 30, I lost my mother to cancer. And a year later, me and my husband divorced. I drifted away from the church. I was busy raising my daughters and working long hours at the post office. I went to church occasionally with my neighbors and my dad. In May 2005, my very good friend Juanita asked me to come to church with her at Fruit Fair. At that time, my dad was 94 and was in failing health in a rest home, and I was really going through a hard time. I will never forget that day. It was Pentecostal Sunday. Everyone was so warm and welcoming. After church, they had a potluck, a world potluck, with lots of different dishes. Monty gave me the leftover flowers to give to the ladies at the rest home. I went to the rest home and gave the ladies the flowers. My dad was so happy to see me dressed up. He told me I looked like a lady. So that's why I dress for church, because it makes me think of my daddy. Then I realized what was missing in my life. And after that, I came every Sunday. I brought Austin and Angel to the church. They loved it so much. Monty baptized Austin, and he was so proud that day. I was a deacon for 6 years, and Pastor Abby established our VBS. Then March of 2012, I became an elder. I went to my first meeting, and it was announced that our church was going to close. It was a very difficult time. Pastor Abby closed our church with grace and dignity with a beautiful celebration. Then we came to church here at college and found a new home. Everyone here was so loving and kind to me and my family. On April 11, 2013, my family lost Austin when he was hit by the train. I had just talked to Austin on the phone about 10 minutes before it happened. He said, "Older Grandma." I said, "Where are you at?" He said, "I'm at the Tangria eating with Chris and Jasmine." I said, "Do you know what time it is? We're going to have to talk when you get home." Excuse me. He said, "Grandma, we don't have to do that." I said, "We'll see. Just finish up and come home." He never came home. When I heard about what happened, I looked up and said, "Why, Lord? I know God must have needed him for a reason, which I still don't understand. I know it was faith and God's strength, my church family, and Monty that came, that got care, that got my family through the difficult time. It's from the time I walked into Fruitvale till today, I have felt the love and spirit of God in these churches. From Monty's preaching, Pete's music, and all of you. I think when people ask me when I was born again, even though I had faith and loved the Lord, I think when I went to Fruitvale, my whole life changed. And that's when God really stepped in and worked with my life. Thank you, and God bless you.
Want to invite us to sit and listen. Yeah, I can't follow that. Don't need to follow that. Sit in the fullness of those words and the testimony to looking for God's presence, even in the darkness. In our silence and meditation and prayers, I'm grateful to God for Elaine. Yes. Grateful for her strength and integrity, for her authenticity, for her trust, and for a servant's heart that is so huge that it is contagiously infecting everyone around her. And I'm grateful, God, we are grateful for your love. As Paul wrote and as Elaine pointed to, your love from which nothing can separate us. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our next hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." It's number 384 in the blue hymnal if you want to see the music. Let us stand as we are able.